If you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 4 tonight. I just want to give you a simple thought this evening, and we'll look at one verse and give you the thoughts the Lord has given us. Proverbs as a whole is a very profitable book. Many of you know you can read through the book of Proverbs. If you read one a day, you can read through the entire book in just about a month of time if you read one a day. And I think Proverbs, there's a lot to be gained from it. If you were to look in Proverbs chapter number 1, we're given the reason of Proverbs. It was given from Solomon to his son, or from the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Solomon is writing to his sons, and he's doing so to give them wisdom and instruction. He's trying to help them in their life. And so there's a lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, a lot of instruction found there. But Proverbs chapter number 4, I want to read verse 23. Tonight, the Bible says this: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's read that again. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray tonight. Father, I do thank you for the evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd please fill me with your spirit and use me tonight in the capacity of my calling. Lord, I pray you'd bless this congregation. I pray they'd listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive tonight. I pray you'd take away the nerves from my heart and mind. Lord, give me calmness that I might preach tonight. Thank you for what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Ben Franklin once said, there are three things extremely hard: steel, a diamond, and to know oneself. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 17, chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful, and above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I think about that word deceitful. That word deceitful means tending to mislead. It means to deceive. It means trickish, fraudulent, or cheating. You know, a lot of our times, our hearts will lie to us. They will not guide us necessarily in the right way. King David would say in Psalms 139 and verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. David there would request of God to search him so that he would know his heart. The word search means to seek or to look for or to make inquiry. I believe it would do us good from time to time as believers to ask the Lord to search our hearts, to examine us in our lives so that we might have a better relationship with the Lord, so that we might make sure that there's not anything in our lives that would hinder our walk with God. Here in our text tonight, Solomon, the wisest man that would ever live, would say, keep thy heart with all diligence. Tonight, for the time that we have, I would like us to consider our hearts. You say, preacher, what are you talking about when you use the word heart? Well, the word heart here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 is talking about our inner man. It's talking about our mind, our will, our understanding, or our inner soul. It's talking about our thinking. It's talking about the seat of our appetites. I remember this last Sunday night, I had meetings in Burlington, North Carolina. And on the way to Burlington, I passed two or three signs that said Dario. Now, if you've never experienced Dario, you're missing out. But on my way up there, my appetite, my physical man, began to desire Dario. And unfortunately, because of time constraints and things, I've not yet been able to accommodate that. But it'll come again, and I'll be able to go to Dario. But I think about our appetites. It's what we long after. It's what we long for. Consider our appetites. That is what is in our heart. It's what we are hungry for tonight. In Luke 12 and verse 34, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, what we value and what we treasure, that is what our heart is going to be caught up in. I think about my family. I value my family. And my wife has my heart. My children, they have my heart. I think about ministry and what God has called me to do. It's a part of my life, and I have a heart for what the Lord has allowed me to do. In fact, my wife tells me from time to time, Thomas, you don't always have to talk about prison ministry. But when you're involved in something that your heart is given to, that's what your mind is on, that's what your appetite is towards. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. Sometimes in my life, I really don't know my own self. I really don't fully understand my own heart. And I think if we were all honest tonight, we could say that many times we fully do not understand our heart and our appetites. We sometimes really do not understand who we really are. With that being said tonight, I'd like to examine Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 to help us better know our hearts, and therefore, hopefully, we can better understand ourselves. By way of introduction, I'd like to look at just a few words tonight. Notice, first of all, you come to Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Notice the word keep. The word keep, that word means to guard or to watch over. It means to guard from danger or to keep close. I think about a medieval castle. Whenever the medieval castle was built, one of the things that they would build is they would build a keep. And that keep was the innermost part of that castle. It was the most secure place in all of that fortification. I think about our heart. We need to be careful to guard our heart. We need to be careful what we allow to gain access to our souls. You see, there's a lot of things in the world and there's a lot of things in society that if we aren't careful, we allow our souls to become, we allow ourselves to be accessible to those things, and those things will get into our heart, and therefore it will hinder our relationship with the Lord. And many times it will lead us to sinful things and wicked things. Psalms 119 and verse 11, the Bible says this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." The word hide or hid means to hide or treasure or store up. You see, we need to learn to hide the word of God in our hearts so that we're not given over to those sins and to temptation of life, so that we're guarding ourselves against those things that would desire to destroy us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, we won't go there right now, maybe later, but he talks about the Apostle Paul gives a list. He says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report. He goes on, he said, think on these things. In other words, give your mind to thinking about things that are godly, that are pure and are right. What better way to guard our hearts than by hiding God's word in our heart, than by thinking on clean things. You see, oftentimes in life, we see heavy things. We see simple things. We see things that we wish we'd have never seen. I don't know about you tonight, but there are things that I wish I'd have never laid eyes on. And if I'm not careful, those things will be recalled to my memory, and I'll begin to dwell on those things, and I'm not guarding my heart as I should. I think about in guarding our heart, it begins with us replacing what is wicked with that which is godly. It begins with us getting rid of the thoughts that are foul and replacing with those thoughts that are pure and true. Not only do we see the word keep here in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, but we see the word diligence. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. That word means care. It means place of confinement, prison or jail. It means a constant effort. Notice this. To accomplish what is undertaken. This word tells me we must be on constant guard in our lives. We must be aware and put forth constant effort to guard our hearts. The Bible in the New Testament speaks as an adversary walking about seeking whom he may devour. Talking about Satan, that roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. When we leave here tonight and we walk out that door, there is an adversary that is going to try to bring things into our lives and try to bring things into our hearts, into our minds. And if we're not on guard, it'll catch us off guard if we're not diligent about it. I think about in our homes as fathers and husbands, we have to be diligent about what goes on in our homes. I think about in society and in work and in ministry, we've got to be diligently guarding against the enemy and what he desires to destroy and do in our lives. Then notice also the word issue. The proverb says, for out of it are the issues of life. The word issue means outgoing or escape. It means what is put into circulation. In other words, whatever is in our heart is going to eventually come out in other places. If our souls are foul and dirty, the rest of us will be found foul and dirty. I remember being on job sites and working in the construction industry, and there were men that I were around that they just had a foul and dirty soul, and it did not take long for that to come out. It did not take long for that to be found out in their lives. I think about if our souls are bitter, bitterness will come out. I know a gentleman tonight, he has everything anybody could ever want. He lives in a beautiful place, has all the money in the world. He has everything that anybody could want. Yet he is bitter against God. And it's always a constant bombardment when I get around this individual, because there's so much bitterness there. You see, if there's bitterness in our hearts tonight, bitterness towards the Lord, bitterness towards each other, bitterness towards life circumstances, that bitterness will eventually come out in our lives and it'll be known. I think about if there's perverseness in our lives, other defilements will come out. But I say tonight, if Christ is in our hearts and we're yielded to the Spirit of God as we should be, there'll be joy in our hearts. We'll be a joyful people. You know, I think about we go through difficult things in life and we go through difficult circumstances, but I'm thankful that many Christians that I'm around, they've learned to have joy through all the things. They've learned to allow the joy of the Lord into their hearts, and they've allowed that to flow out through them in their actions and their attitudes. I think about if we allow the Lord in our hearts, love will be in our hearts. We'll be a loving people. I'm thankful that I'm a part of a church that loves people. There's a lot of churches that do not love people. They love certain people, but not people. I'm thankful that our church has learned to love people no matter circumstances, no matter upbringing, no matter social status. I'm glad you love me, because I don't even love me sometimes. I think about if those things in our heart, I think about we'll be gracious people, and this is difficult, but if we understand that God has done a work in our heart and he's shown us grace, that grace will flow out to others around us. So tonight, as we look at guarding our hearts, at being diligent, as having constant concern for what we allow into our souls, and we realize that it is what is in our heart will eventually come out in other places. Tonight, I just want to quickly give you three things that I think we need to seek after this evening. Let me say, first of all, tonight, we need as believers to seek to have a clean heart. Seek to have a clean heart. Psalms 139, we've already referenced in verse 23 to 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Notice this. "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Notice that, any wicked way. Do you know, sometimes we fail and we don't even realize it? Shake your head like this. Sometimes we say the wrong thing and don't even know it. How many husbands are here? Shake your head like this. Sometimes we react to our children in a way and we don't even realize we're doing it. Maybe on the job we have a wrong attitude. Maybe towards that cash register lady we have the wrong attitude. And we need to say, "Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. Any wrong word, any wrong thought, any wrong action." We need to daily ask the Lord if there's any wicked way in us. I think about a well. Our hearts are kind of like a well that flows out into our minds. It flows out into our hands and our feet and other things. And if a well becomes poisoned and defiled, guess what? It's messed up everything that well touches. A few years ago, we were working a job down in Gold Hill, and we pulled up on the job, and the first thing the contractor said, he said, "Don't drink the water and don't drink out of the well." And I thought, what in the world? Come to find out, a raccoon had fallen down in that well and had drowned. And you're talking about stinking to high heavens. But the thing about it was, not only did that well stink, but you went in the house and everything from the sink water to the toilet water smelled like that raccoon. The whole works had become defiled. I think about our lives. When our hearts become defiled, everything becomes defiled. Our thinking becomes defiled. Our speech becomes defiled. Our actions become defiled. Understand this. It just takes a small amount of defilement to destroy the whole works. I wouldn't have cared if it was a baby raccoon. I wasn't drinking that water. I don't care if it was a half of a baby raccoon. It didn't take but a small amount, and it had messed up the whole thing. In our lives, it don't take but a small amount of sin, and we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves behaving in a manner that's not pleasing to God. We find ourselves doing things that we ought not to do. I say, however, if we keep a clean heart, I don't know how they purged that well. I don't know if they fixed it or not. But if they were able to purge it, not only was that well clean, but everything that well touched became clean. You see, if our hearts become clean, everything within us becomes clean. Our thinking becomes clean. Our speech becomes clean. Our actions becomes clean. Our desires become clean because we've allowed God to purge our hearts. So first of all, tonight I simply say, seek to have a clean heart. Secondly, seek to have a filled heart. A filled heart. Psalms 9 and verse 1 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Psalms 138 and verse 1 says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. You see, if we have a clean heart before the Lord, we can begin to fill it with good things in our lives. Understand tonight, I love my dad. My dad has always wanted a wood shop. Several years ago, my dad got a wood shop, and my dad built it. He put everything together. He put his woodworking tools in there, and then mama put all her stuff in there, and then my brother moved back in and put all his stuff in there. And so my dad now has a wood shop full of stuff. And he told me a few weeks ago, he said, I about broke my neck in there trying to move around. What has happened? He's allowed that shop to become so full of everything else besides what is necessary for woodworking that it's useless. He's not able to do a lot. He's going to have to clean it out first. I think about the Lord allowed me to have a little wood shop out behind my house, and I was able to go in there and clean it up, and I've been able to produce some things for my wife. Why? Because I've emptied it of those things that didn't need to be there, and I filled it with things that are good and usable. I think about over here in Philippians 4:8. You can turn over there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This, again, we've referenced this, but this is the Apostle Paul talking, and he talked about things that we ought to think on. He says here in Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That's some good things to think about, especially in the day and age in which we live in. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, notice this, think on these things. Once we get that defilement out, once we get that sin out, we can begin to fill our minds with praise. We can begin to think on things that are true, things that are just, things that are right. We can begin to allow God to do those things in our lives. I say tonight, as believers, our hearts ought to be a heart full of love. As a husband, I am to love my wife. I am to love my children. As a Christian, I am to love others around me, regardless of their circumstance and situation. As a member of a local body of believer, I'm to love my brethren and get along with others in this church. I think about our wives are to love their children. They're to love their husbands. We ought to have a heart full of love. We ought to have a heart full of prayer. Having the ability to pray and seek God and having that right relationship. The Bible says pray without ceasing. When is the last time that we simply were so right with God on a daily basis that we could pray anywhere without first having to make confession? We ought to have a heart full of compassion. Jude 1:22 says, and some having compassion, making a difference. It's going to take us showing compassion to our world that we might make a difference. I think about that good Samaritan over there in the New Testament. He didn't look at the mess, and I think I preached a message on that here last time I was here, but he didn't look at the mess of that man there on the road of Jericho. He looked past the mess and saw the individual and showed compassion. We must learn to do that in our lives. I say this, we need a heart full of leadership. Leadership in our community. Leadership in our government. Leadership in our workplace. We ought to be, as believers, striving to be leaders and set the godly example in everything we do. Then I say, lastly, tonight, we need to seek to have a peaceful heart. You know, Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. John 14, verse 1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus telling his disciples that he was getting ready to leave. He was getting ready to go away. And he said, listen, let not your heart be troubled. He would say in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. me say tonight, we as believers need to be a people of a steady, peaceful heart in our chaotic world. I understand that whenever a storm would come into on a maybe a deep body of water, whether it be an ocean or a lake, whenever a storm would come, that storm on the surface would be raging and the winds would be crashing and the rain would be driving. But if you could dive deep down into that water, deep down in that water, you'd find that there was calm and peace there. Deep down in that water, there would be no sense of a storm. I say tonight, there may be those of us that are going through storms and going through troubles, and it may be chaotic on the surface, and it may be out of control, and there might be rain and hail and tornadoes and everything else. But listen to me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Deep down in our hearts, there ought to be a calm, constant peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." It didn't say there that he would keep us in perfect peace while we were looking at the problem. And I'll be honest with you, I'm one of the world's worst at trying to look at the problem and figure it out and cipher it out. No, he says he'll keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When the situation is bad, don't look at the situation. Look at the God who can resolve the situation. When the debt's higher than what you got in the bank account, look at the God of that trouble. When things are just not going like you want them to, we have to learn to not focus on what's there in all the situation, but realize that there's a God that can overcome whatever it is in our lives. So as we close tonight, Ben Franklin said this: there are three things extremely hard: steel, a diamond, and to know oneself. Tonight I ask you and I ask myself to search our hearts and ask as David did, "Lord, search me, see if there be any wicked way in me." Tonight as I close, I leave you with three things. First of all, let me ask tonight, is your heart the Lord's? Are you born again? You say, "Preacher, this is the Wednesday night crowd." Yeah, I know. I was sitting in the Wednesday night crowd, 16 years old, lost as I could be. And the Lord saved me that night. I think about this matter of being born again. You know, in 1983, the world changed. You say, "Why is that?" Because I showed up and the world ain't never been the same since. But 16 years later, when I trusted Christ as Savior, my world changed. The Lord done a work in my heart. The Lord changed me. The Lord gave me a new mind, a new heart, new desires. And the thing is, there's a lot of people, you've had that first experience where you've changed this world, but Christ has never changed your world. Then I say, secondly tonight, are there things in your heart that have defiled you? I'm just glad to be here tonight. Didn't know I was preaching until about 30 minutes ago. I don't know what God's doing in your life. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's in your heart tonight. But if there are there things there that have defiled you that you just simply need to get right with God? Make that confession and get it out of the way. You know, I've heard people say this, "Well, if I tell God, he'll know about it." Ladies and gentlemen, he already knows. The eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Why in the world do we think, "Well, I'm going to hide it from the Lord"? No, he already knows. Why not just go ahead and take care of it and get it out of our lives? And then lastly, will we seek to have a clean heart, seek to have a filled heart, and seek to have a peaceful heart? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Father, thank you for the liberty in preaching tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this verse that you've given us to challenge us.